Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the show that's not boring, hopefully. It's not too interesting. It's fine. How are you guys? How are you, Robin?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I'm happy to be back. And I'm generally fine. How are you?
That's good. Yeah, I'm all right as well. Yeah, good. Very 6 out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fine.
Yeah.
How about you, Martin?
On a scale, maybe a seven.
Oh, all right, mate. Yeah. No need to brag.
We always start off the episodes, or I do anyway, with a little update on the weather, and it's cooler this week.
Oh,
it is cooler.
See, literally,
that's all I had to say.
All I had to say.
I've stolen your thunder.
No, you haven't, because literally, I avoided saying it because Alex asked me how I was, and my first thing was just like, "Oh, I'm so glad it's cool." And I was like, "No, won't talk about the weather.
Not this week.
The bizarre thing is that I suddenly have sympathy for those weirdos who come over to Britain from hot countries and say, "Oh, it's freezing cold here, and it's 21 degrees," and you're like, "What are you talking about?" And now, it's in the low 20s here, but last week it was in the mid to high 30s, and I just like, I feel like I could put a coat on. It's comparatively so cold. Yeah. Not really. I'm still wearing shorts, but you know, it's
shorts and a coat. That was my outfit today, going out for a walk. Shorts and a raincoat, perfect.
And that was just to hide all the sex toys.
What?
As I'm hosting this week, I'm actually going to put a stop to this weather talk right now.
That literally just came out of nowhere.
I don't know what that was, Robin. But we're going to save that for later because that's going to be interesting.
Well, we're not going to save sex toys for later, Alex.
He uses them right now. That's Martin's way.
On the show.
Now
live.
Or never.
Yeah, that'll be banned, won't
it's
it?
It's only been going on for 2 minutes. How has this gone off the rails already?
We can trim it. We can trim it.
It's all he needs. 2 minutes is all he needs.
Okay. So
but yeah, overall, 7 out of 10. Good. Yeah, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, I'm fine. We've established that. Okay. What are we discussing today? Today, we are going to be discussing an interesting article that's come out recently that's basically said if you get murdered in America, there's a 40% chance, only a 60% chance that your murderer will be brought to justice. And we basically wanted to talk about criminals who got away from the criminal justice system, who got away with it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And some really interesting examples of that. And we wanted to, discuss that with you. But also we will be saying some things that we learned this week. And of course, I will be hosting this week's weekly quiz.
Woo.
And I hope you both have been paying close attention to the news cycle.
No.
This could be interesting. The last couple of weeks,
because, it's a current affairs quiz.
Oh, okay.
So
good. I'm afraid the only news that I've known is the Chinese restaurant thing that we talked about on our Patreon, our little mini podcast for the Patreon. So
we did. Useless.
If that's in the quiz, I'm fine.
And okay. if you're interested in hearing what we have to say about a Chinese restaurant, I'm not going to give any more details other than that.
You're literally just a Chinese restaurant. That's the boring shittest episode. If you want to hear our thoughts about a Chinese restaurant, you can at least say it's a Chinese restaurant that's weighing customers, right, as they come through the door.
It away.
It's not giving it away. No one's going to click on it if it's just a Chinese restaurant. No one's going to support our patron.
I wanted there to be a level of intrigue.
Yeah,
no intrigue.
I agree with Alex. The whole point, I thought the only reason people join our YouTube membership or support us on Patreon is so they can find out about whether or not we like dim sum. That's the only reason they join. And that's, you're just spoiling it, Martin.
Sorry, my mistake. Yeah, no, you're both right. It's about a Chinese restaurant and nothing more. But yeah, thanks to all of you who do support us on our Patreon. And,
it's better
than
that.
I apologise in advance.
Yeah, thank you. We're sorry. Okay, let's quickly move on. Right, what have we learnt this week? No one mentioned Chinese restaurant for the rest of the podcast. Robin,
ooh,
please enlighten us. And please don't make it as traumatic as last week's one.
No, don't worry. This one's nicer, I think. A lot nicer. And it's
okay, good.
Recent results published in July 2020, so less than a month ago. Scientists published the results of an experiment conducted on the International Space Station. So not just any experiment. And in this experiment, they tested a potential way to protect astronauts from space radiation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's important.
Exactly. Over a period of 30 days, they observed that a 1.7 millimeter layer of fungus that can be found growing near Chernobyl can reduce astronauts' exposure to space radiation by up to 2.5%.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah. By 2.5%?
Yep, 1.7 millimeters of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, like,
so imagine,
you have,
yeah,
like imagine a full centimeter.
Yeah, covered an entire spaceship with, you know, several centimeters of this stuff. Or if you, particularly in Mars, because the radiation on Mars, because the atmosphere is so thin, is really bad, you could grow this fungus. It's called radiosynthetic, I think. It's like photosynthesis, but it uses radiation instead. So it uses melanin to create energy from radiation, which is awesome.
So I don't want to be an idiot. Mm. You can make this stuff, right? It's not just like it has to be from the Chernobyl incident.
I think there are many known varieties of fungus that create energy through radiosynthesis, but this particular one is probably plentiful around Chernobyl, and they probably didn't know about it until Chernobyl happened, and they're just like, oh, mm-hmm. What's this fungus? Like, ah, this is what this does. So I think it's more that it's readily available in Chernobyl.
So how, okay. I mean, you say 2.5%. It's a start, isn't it? Even if it was just a thin layer, it's better than not having it, for sure.
Yeah.
It's amazing that this kind of fungus, I mean, I imagine that it grows in response to the radiation of Chernobyl, like as in it grows because there's lots of radiation in the area. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't look into it, but I would assume, yeah, it's adapted to the radiation. When I was looking this up, there are other types of fungus that it's a known phenomenon that several plants do this. But I imagine there aren't many places, thankfully, on Earth that have sufficient radiation for plant life to adapt to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas around Chernobyl has been quite a lot for some time, and will continue to be so for quite some time. Because, for example, the way you measure radiation, I think, is in something called millisievert. MSV, and in space, one MSV is equivalent to having three chest X-rays, but on Earth we only get exposed to two MSV per year from background radiation.
So the equivalent of six X-rays.
Yeah, exactly. So that, but which isn't much for plant life to grow on, but on the International Space Station, where there's much less protection from the atmosphere, or no protection because there's a vacuum of space, astronauts can be exposed to as much as 160 MSV in six months, in 1 6-month tour.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's like 320 a year, which is...
I imagine there's a higher rate of... I mean, I imagine there's lots of stuff they do to kind of negate the effects of radiation. It's not just this particular fungus, is it?
No, they must have other protections out there.
Yeah, of course. But at the same time, that's a huge amount, isn't it? I imagine there must be increased rates of cancer as a result amongst astronauts, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, you'd think so. You'd think so. But
It seems like one of those big space problems that we haven't actually like cracked, right?
Because
that's the reason why a lot of people questioned the moon landing, was like, how did they get through the Van Allen radiation belt?
Yes.
In just like a tin can with very little radiation protection. And the official answer, obviously, is that the Van Allen radiation belt is like bands, like magnetic bands around the planet. Mm. And so they went where the radiation was thinnest.
Yes.
And they were only in it for like half an hour or something.
Yeah.
In
fact, that's the solution they've been using so far with the International Space Station, is that they've got rules about how long different ages of astronauts can be out there. And at the moment, and the different periods, so when the sun's... We discussed this the other week in a podcast, didn't we, about sun's solar cycle and how strong it gets. Mm. When it's at its strongest, they only allow the oldest astronauts out there. Because...
The oldest ones.
Yeah, okay. So it's kind of morbid, but also quite sensible. Apparently older astronauts obviously are closer to natural death, so they can risk being exposed to more radiation because they've lived their lives, whereas younger astronauts the more radiation you expose them to, the longer they're out there at high time, at peaks of high radiation, they the more likely they're going to develop cancers that will end their life or seriously impede the quality of their life and their usefulness as astronauts.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, getting cancer at a younger age as well. You're more likely to recur, isn't it?
Yeah,
throughout your life. Yeah.
So they try to minimize the risk by selecting who goes up at what times, and
Well, fingers crossed for this this moss fungus then, because that sounds promising. I mean, it sounds like a difficult thing to implement. Wouldn't you have to keep it alive if there's like if you're having a layer of it surrounding a ship?
That's the beauty of it. It uses radiation.
To stay alive.
Yeah, it uses radiation to make energy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Even better.
Nice.
Self-sufficient.
Exactly. It's the perfect solution. Nature comes to the rescue.
Nice.
Yeah. So what did you learn this week?
Me or Martin? I'm asking the questions here, Robin. I'll tell you though. I learned this week about the first ever... Well, it's regarded as the first ever sci-fi story.
Oh.
Do you know about this?
No. Alien Jesus.
It does not involve Alien Jesus.
Oh, so it's not the Bible.
When do you think it was written, the first ever sci-fi story?
It was a caveman. Cavemen just scribbling on the wall.
Yes.
Not quite that early.
3,000.
It's described as a novel. So
okay.
I don't think it could be on a cave.
1578.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
Robin?
This is part of the quiz.
If it's a novel, I wouldn't go. Yeah, I wouldn't go that early. But I don't know, 1800.
Well, you're both very far off. It was written in the second century AD.
Oh, do I get the point though? Some places.
Sure. You Thanks. Win. the book is called A True Story, and it was written in ancient Greek in the 2nd century AD by a novelist called Lucian of Samosata, who was a Greek-speaking author of Assyrian descent. And it's basically this satire story. And actually, it's kind of like a parody about, he's like parodying other famous authors' work, like Homer.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's parodying the idea that they would write these fantastical mythological stories of like Odysseus fighting whatever.
Yeah.
And presenting it as if it's true. So he wrote this, a true story, and it involves space travel, aliens, robots, artificial atmospheres.
Wow.
All in the second century.
All in the second century. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a lot of like a debate over whether this could qualify as sci-fi.
Right.
Or whether this is just kind of like, just satire, really. It doesn't really contribute towards like sci-fi. But the defining element that people kind of point to this and say that this is what makes it sci-fi is how it links to like real world as well. Mm. So it has science fictional elements, but it's also like got real world elements tied into it. So there's a bit where there's inhabitants of the sun and there's the king, and there's basically like colonization efforts that reflected what was going on at the time, but on the sun and the moon, basically.
Really? This guy's a time traveler. This sounds like it's way ahead of its time.
Creatures as products of human technology were mentioned, which is basically robots.
I feel like
pretty far in advance.
Well, that's amazing. It's this Greeks, isn't it? They're just so clever. It's like, I feel like the ancient Greeks are to history what the Simpsons are to the future, which is, if you can think of it, the Simpsons has done it. And the ancient Greeks are like that. Like, they did it first. They did everything first. Amazing, really.
Yeah, that's what I learned this week.
What was it called again?
A True Story is what it was
called. True Story. It sounds like it could be made into a film even now.
Yeah, it does.
A True Story. Although it does sound a little bit like a rom-com.
Do you know why he called it A True Story as well?
It's not.
Because it wasn't true. It was ironic.
So So as part of the story, he recounts in the book, he says, a true story is about things I have neither seen nor experienced nor heard tell of from anyone else. Things, what is more, that do not in fact exist and could not ever exist at all.
No, so my read.
So my readers must not believe a word I say. So he justifies the title by arguing that his is the only truthful mythological story ever told, in as much as it's the only one that it admits that it's all lies.
I see. Clever.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh.
He thinks he's all that, doesn't he?
He sounds a bit insufferable in real life, to be honest. I bet if he knew him, he'd be a bit of an arse.
He'd have been there writing Inception, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Lucian of Samosata. 3 stars.
In Lucian,
not,
we trust.
Not as good as Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Martin? What did you learn this week?
Well, slightly different, but I learned about a man who won the lottery in Jamaica, and he won $158,400,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jamaican dollars, which is about a million US dollars. But still, a good win.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time people don't want to other people to know that they've won. That's quite a common thing, isn't it, for lottery winners? You can either choose to go public and they do a whole load of publicity on you, or you can choose to keep it private. And I think they take away a little bit of your money as a result if you don't want to tell your story. I think that's the case, maybe in America.
Wow.
But anyway, this person definitely didn't want people to know his identity, and he didn't even want his family to know his identity. So in all of the pictures from this super lotto in Jamaica, he is wearing, and I think, Alex, you're editing this one, so we add the picture of this one in, a Scream mask. A mask from the film Scream.
Wow.
Wow, nice. Just and whatever he had lying around then, I guess.
Terrifying.
Including the black gloves and, like, a white overcoat as well. A cape.
Wow.
Ooh.
And there are pictures of him, and it's just amazing. He's with all these officials from the lottery company. Signing the documents, wearing the Scream mask and gloves, and hopefully these will be on screen for you to view now.
Oh, wow.
It's just amazing.
I don't understand the thinking, though. Like, surely you have it as, like, part of playing the lottery. Either you have to disclose your identity, or you don't have to. Like, why? Like, and then they just won't take any pictures. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you need the pictures?
It seems mad that he would have to hide and they would still take the picture anyway.
I've just sent it through to you guys in the Discord so you can see. But these pictures are wonderful.
So
amazing.
Good.
Wow.
But the thing is, would you guys I understand not giving away your info to a lot of people, because there are stories, aren't there, people being hounded for money and being asked, and
a lot
of cases where people feel like they need to give a lot of their money away, whether to actual good causes or fraudulently. Would you guys ever reveal your identity if you won the lottery? And would you have an issue with, like, your family knowing as well? Like,
I would
the way
really,
they'd view
I'd it. Really try not to, disclose my identity. I wouldn't be one of those people that you see on the news where it's like, Betty and Sally won £100 million and they're donating it all to their, charity. That made me sound really bad then.
That did make you sound like a terrible person.
But do you know what I mean? Because, like, why have you done that? Now people know that you're charitable and your face is on the news and they know that you've got loads of money. You're going to have many people messaging you, asking you for stuff.
And they probably put your where you live as well, don't they? From I guess you can move. But that's interesting. You said that you could say Betty and Sally or whatever from donating it all. You just say that you donated, you're donating it all, and then you're like, well, I've donated it all.
Yeah,
and then donate some of it,
yes,
and you still have some left.
Well, that's true, actually. Yeah.
What kind of amount would you have to give away to keep your anonymity?
Oh, would I be happy?
50%?
Would I be happy to sacrifice?
At what stage would you be like, naturally, it's not worth it.
Depends
I need to
on
keep
what you
more
win,
of this money.
Surely.
Say you win the old Euro Millions. You've won 100 million, let's say. What percentage of that would you have to keep?
To
keep your anonymity?
It would be a very tough decision. I'd want to keep my anonymity as much as possible.
I'm offering you 10 million to keep your anonymity out of 100 million. Do you keep it?
No, obviously not. I would I'd take the 100 million in that case, and I'd probably wear a screen mask. I could wear a screen mask for 90 million pounds.
Yeah. I think Camelot, who run the lottery, might have something to say about wearing a screen mask.
Right, shall we have a look at some of the comments in some of the videos this week?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yes.
So I've got a comment from Brian Blair, who commented on our podcast that we released last week on new Loch Ness monster sightings. This doesn't relate to that, though. This relates to the conversation that we had, Martin, about Face Off. Do you remember this? We asked people, who's more Nicolas Cage and who's more John Travolta? In our relationship, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And Brian says, I feel like Martin has more Nicolas Cage wild card energy around him, while Alex has that stoic John Travolta Pulp Fiction energy. So,
and the hair.
Read into that what you want.
I mean, that's Nicolas Cage energy. I mean, that's quite extreme, isn't it?
You got that manic.
He's like the eyes. Yeah.
Nicolas Cage wild card energy. I love it.
Yeah. You guys can't see me, but I just do the eyes to the camera. So that'll be there for our viewers.
I look forward to that. How about you guys? Do you get any other comments?
On the same podcast episode on YouTube, Beth Dumont responded to something we discussed in the quiz, which was about the bonus question was about how much Apple is worth as of December 2019. And it was $1.3 trillion. But Beth Dumont says, actually, the most valuable company in history was the Dutch East India Company. At the height of the tulip boom, it was valued at $7.9 trillion in modern terms.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is,
oh my, I mean, God. Tulips.
That is crazy.
Were insanely expensive, weren't they? I imagine that they traded in tulips back then.
Yes. Well, she mentions the tulip boom, so I'm guessing the tulips were directly involved.
It wasn't just a phrase. Yeah.
I double checked this just out of interest and found out that statistic is from 2017. So they're
even more
now. Yeah. Which is just mad. Imagine that. But this is the height, the early days, the first financial boom with the tulip boom. So. Yeah,
7.9 trillion for tulips, and you know we've got iPhones and MacBooks, and it's only 1.3 trillion.
One day, mate, they'll be viewed exactly the same as tulips. old and irrelevant. Although I do like a tulip, probably my favourite flower.
Tulips are very nice.
They are very nice. Yeah, they are very nice. Enough of tulips. I've actually got a couple of reviews.
Ooh,
nice reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to read out two of them because I think any more than two would just be blowing our trumpets.
Well, it depends what the reviews say, really, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. In fact, the first review, I just looked back, and the first review for the Just Interesting podcast, the title is Excellent, and the review is Loving the New Podcast, 1 star.
Oh, no. Oh, Hopefully that was a mistake.
I imagine it was a mistake, but it made me laugh.
I mean, it might not be a mistake. This person just might have incredibly high standards.
Incredibly high standards, yeah.
1 star's the best, right? Anyway, this is from Luke Henry Thompson. Luke says, superb podcast. This is one of the very few podcasts that I actually listen to and enjoy every single one. I don't normally listen on Apple Podcast. I listen on Spotify. However, this podcast was worth the effort of me leaving this review on Apple Podcast, even though I don't use it.
Thank you.
So thank you for leaving the review. And he writes, makes the commute fly by. Always very interesting. And I learn something with every episode. So he also says our chemistry is good, which is very nice.
Oh, thank you.
And the second one was by Thomas Maguire. And Thomas says, entertaining, insightful, and just interesting. I've been listening to these guys for years and still get excited when a new podcast is uploaded. There has never been a boring episode. Debatable, but thank you.
Have you heard about our Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, head on over to the Patreon. You might change your mind. Each podcast comes with the right amount of narrative, skepticism, and banter. Each topic is covered eloquently, also debatable, but thank you. And my phone has just gone off onto something else. But thank you, Thomas Maguire. That was very kind.
That was an incredible review. Oh, nice. Thank you. All those reviews were fantastic. Luke Henry Thompson as well. And whoever wrote the 1 star review, I mean, succinct. Let's say that. But,
to the point.
That's wonderful. We love hearing what you all think and how you respond to these podcasts. So please do keep the reviews and the comments coming in. Particularly your thoughts on whatever we discuss, because We're just three normal people. We have our opinions. We're often wrong. So the more we know...
We're just three normal human beings. Definitely yes. Not robots.
Emphasis on the human part. Yes.
The more he repeats it, the more it will become true.
Gosh. We just like human food and human activities.
Sometimes I like to dance.
I set myself up for that, didn't I? I didn't even realize what I was saying until you started. Ugh.
Yeah, I'd emphasize what you said, though, Robin, and just be like, yeah, you know, we love hearing your feedback and keep them coming in, basically. It's always nice. It's always nice reading your comments each week. But with that, shall we get on to our main topic of the week?
Yes, indeed.
This week is criminals who got away with that.
Whoa, what? Controversial.
What do you mean they got away with it?
They got away with it, Martin. And let me tell you something else. Loads of them bloody did.
No. Yeah. So what are the stats? Like, you mentioned earlier, Alex, about murderers getting away with it,
yes,
right? And if you unfortunately get murdered, the almost 50% chance of 50% that your murderer will get away with it. But I mean, is this the same for all crimes? Are there any that are
let's go through the list. So this is based on a 27 report from the FBI about crime in the US. So this is specifically in the US. The murder rate, as we said earlier, is 61.6% clearance that they'll solve, make an arrest for a murder, basically prosecute.
Yeah.
But what do you think that is for aggravated assault?
Some assault someone.
How many, what percentage of crimes get solved?
I mean, you'd think it would be more, right? Because aggravated assault is just somebody attacking somebody else who survives, so they can easily point out the criminal, right?
You would think.
Good point, but then are the police less likely to take it as seriously as murder?
Also a very good point.
So what's the rate?
I'll tell you, it's 53.3%, so less than murder.
Less than murder, okay.
So more murders get solved than aggravated assault crimes.
Well, I mean, in terms of percentage, yeah. More aggravated assaults than murder.
Yeah.
How about rape?
Oh, it's going to be
what
really
do you think?
Low, isn't it?
Difficult to convict, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but lower. Yeah, definitely lower.
Just under 35%.
That's higher than I thought it would be, actually.
So, rapists are 65% likely to get away with it, basically.
Having said that, people know that it's difficult to prosecute, right, unless you've got evidence.
Imagine that in terms of
reported rapes, a lot of people won't report it, right, whatever reason. It might be that they're afraid to. It might be that it's a partner or someone in their family, so they don't feel like they can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and also this is important to note that most crimes go unreported anyway.
Yes.
So these are just the ones that are reported
yes.
and have records, and less than half of those crimes get solved. It's a very low rate when you think about
really
it. But you watch like TV shows like Law and Order and CSI, and you think, oh yeah, they're on it. They're totally on it.
But they're not. It's not.
And then. So then below rape on robbery is at 30%, larceny, theft, motor vehicle theft is 13.7%,
I suppose,
and burglary is 13.5%.
Wow.
So basically, if you want to be a criminal, become a burglar, basically.
Yeah, burglary is probably your way in, yeah. That cannot be the takeaway.
No, that's not what we're supposed to learn.
I guess also, if you're thinking about it, think about something like murder. I don't know the exact percentages, but I'd imagine that a lot of murders are either in heated debates
or crimes of passion
premeditated. Or even if they're calculated, they're not done by a professional, right? Like if you're a car thief.
Yeah.
You've done it so many times before, most likely you're going to be a serial offender.
Yeah, and there's a whole network of fences to help cover up and disguise the tracks that lead to, like the stolen car thing. Yeah, you can definitely change the number plates, take it to a dealership, they can take it apart, they can do all kinds of things to hide its origin, whereas obviously a murder happens on the crime scene. It's really hard to cover up a murder, isn't it?
Yeah, and a carjacking, as much as you like to believe that the police are really interested in the fact that you've had your car stolen, the likelihood is that they'll have a look into it, and if it's not going to be an easy fix, they're going to be like, well, You don't want to spend loads and loads of resources on someone's car. Mm. Let's move on to something else.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean that's from the FBI report, isn't it? So that's the American statistics. Over here, I know that the reporting of crime has gone up. I think it's gone up by 46% in recent years.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, because I think there's been a concerted effort into logging crimes. So it's not necessarily that people, citizens like us, are getting better at reporting crimes. It's more likely that the way the police are logging crimes reported has changed so that more crimes are being processed, if that makes sense. Martin, you might know more about this because you know more about the way a police force works.
I don't know about how the police force works, unfortunately.
Well, you've been in jail so many times, I thought maybe you'd
I know about it from the inside now.
but in the UK, it's just over 9% of crimes are solved.
9% of, 9%. Of total crimes?
Yeah,
total
just
crime.
Over 9% total.
Oh, that's not good, is
assault.
It?
Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Is why that based is that? On reported crimes?
Yeah,
as
that's
well?
Just reported crimes. So that's not even the tip of the iceberg.
Why
is
there
it?
Such a disparity between that and like the US system then? Because like the US clearance rate, maybe it's different. Maybe a clearance rate is different, but that's around 60% in the US. Is that the same as what
does
that statistic
mean
is?
Solved? That's the thing. It's like if they say that a crime is unsolvable. Then is that cleared? I don't know.
Well, in the UK, the Home Office, which is, I guess, the Department of the Interior equivalent, issued a statement along with the diminishing crime solving statistics, saying that although more crimes are now being recorded, a growing proportion of cases the victim either doesn't support further action or police are unable to contact them. Which I guess there must be some new, because we've had massive, massive police cuts here. So manpower is down over the last decade. It's shrunk by about half, hasn't it? So I wonder if police simultaneously, whilst the number of crimes being recorded and reported has gone up, police are simultaneously being saying like three strikes and you're out. Like if you can't reach them, don't bother pursuing this particular crime. Maybe, I'm speculating here.
Well, yeah, of course, the police force has been cut as well massively, isn't it, in recent years and funding. And your point about people not wanting to pursue further action, I think that's very, very prevalent, both because there's maybe a lack of trust in the fact that it will get resolved properly, or again, the fact that often, especially with like domestic cases, they know the person, they don't want to take it any further.
That's a really good point about trust as well, because that is a big part of why this is actually has like very negative consequences. And it's called legal cynicism, which is it's kind of referred to.
Yeah.
When crimes go unpunished and like crimes don't get solved, people are more likely to think that the police justice system, they're not taking these crimes seriously. And so then it's like a cycle where they're less likely to report them and criminals are more likely to commit crimes because they think they can get away with it.
Well, there you go.
So it's a bad cycle. So not only like, you know, having a good arrest record, having a good, crime solving rate is good for then preventing further crimes, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another issue with this report from the FBI as well. Mm. And that's the disparity between who or what crimes are being solved in different neighborhoods. Yeah. So like people from unprivileged backgrounds, their crimes are less likely to get solved than, you know, people from a privileged upbringing.
It's tempting to read some kind of racial motivation into that. It's possible that I'm completely wrong.
No, you are sadly spot on, Robin. So there was a study that found that police in the US in this report, when victims were white, police arrested someone in approximately 63% of cases. However, when the victim was black, they did so in just 47% of cases. So there's a huge difference.
Quite a big discrepancy.
In the solving rate of these kind of cases.
Yeah.
And then that extends to worse off communities as well. And apparently in like some of the worst communities, the clearance rate for murders and shootings can fall into single digits.
Wow.
So, that's not good, is it, at all?
What's so dispiriting about all this, I think, is that it's the same It's the same conclusions all the time. And it's the same truths that people have been speaking about for literally, at this point, a couple of hundred years. People say poverty, often linked to lack of education, leads to high crime rates. Underfunded police forces, leads to crime gone rampant because they're not policing it effectively. And yet, we're still there. We're still living in countries, supposedly the most enlightened countries in the world, that don't bother to solve the root causes of these problems. And yet, of course, in America, it's slightly different. They fund their police forces much better than we do over here. But from the sound of things, Martin, you've got examples like Flint in Michigan where there isn't targeted funding. It's just splurged nationally, and it's not properly focused on the areas that really need it.
I think as well, like from what I've heard with the American like police system, because they don't have other services like that would do similar things.
Yes.
There's a lot on like the police force's plate, basically. Like they have to deal with everything. You know, if there's any kind of situation, the police are called.
A lot of it's like drug overdoses as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're often the first responders to those situations too.
Which doesn't make sense, does it? It should be an ambulance. It shouldn't be the police.
Yeah. I mean, there are, of course, medics too, but often the police are called.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's not that they're maybe necessarily not funded properly, but they're just overworked. They got too much on their plate, maybe as well.
You mean the situation's rapidly changed, so the previous funding is no longer sufficient?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the difference between, funny you use the phrase funded properly, there's a difference between sufficient funding and proper funding, isn't there? Because it's to do with, it's not about lack of money necessarily, it's about having money apportioned to the right resources.
Exactly.
So
not spending the whole budget on a tank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. So are there any examples that we can talk about of specific criminals who've gotten away with it?
Well, I mean, while we're on the subject of like America, did you have any American criminals that we wanted to talk about? Because I've got some Nazi scientists. That's a bit different.
I'll save them for the best or last.
A lot of those got away with it.
Yeah, I've got an American crime from 1993, which is probably quite famous. Some of our listeners will probably be familiar with this one. And you two as well, I'm sure, because I'm pretty sure we discussed this in the past. On June the 23rd in 1993 in Virginia, in America, Lorena Bobbitt called police and confessed to having cut off her husband's penis while he slept using an 8-inch carving knife.
I said to Robin before we started filming this, you realize this is the second time in two consecutive weeks you've brought up chopping off genitals.
Penises.
It's a coincidence.
it was spiraling very quickly, Robin, unfortunately.
It's a coincidence. It just happened. Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, it just happened. Well, here's the thing. Like, she never recanted this. She maintained the confession in a court hearing and throughout her trial. But the jury found Lorena not guilty due to insanity. And as a result, she couldn't be held liable for her actions. And under state law, the judge ordered her to undergo a 45-day evaluation period at a hospital, after which she was released. And unsurprisingly, in 1995, after being married for 6 years, Lorena and her husband divorced.
Sorry. How long after she got out did they divorce?
About a year.
About a year. Yeah. They stayed together for a year, even though she chopped.
I mean, there was a trial in the period. They probably were separated, I'm guessing.
You think so?
This isn't the crime. Officially. This isn't necessarily the crime I want to talk about with this case.
Okay.
So here's the twist. Lorena's defense was that she was insane in the moment that she cut off her husband's penis. And her defense rested on the fact that on the night that she cut off his Johnson, he came home from work, presumably, and raped her. And this was just the tipping point after years throughout their marriage of her husband sexually, physically, and emotionally abusing her. She said that he used to flaunt his infidelities and he forced her to have an abortion one time. And he stole her money and spent it all without her knowledge.
It's how, I don't ever wish someone gets their penis cut off, but it sounds like he kind of deserved
it. It sounds like he deserved it. But the prosecutors needed to establish a motive for Lorena's actions, right? And they couldn't just say that she was insane because that was her defense. So instead, they used and they demonstrated and they effectively proved that John, her husband, had been abusing her all these years. And he went on trial for rape, for the rape that she accused him of committing that night. So the point is that both the defense and the prosecution agreed and proved in court, essentially, that he had committed a whole range of crimes, including multiple rapes.
That's the worst prosecution in history. You're prosecuting someone else.
Yeah.
And then your prosecution team ends up with you going to jail. I mean, he sounds like a nasty, nasty piece of work.
Yeah, exactly.
He deserves it.
And he went on trial.
Wow, what a terrible, terrible legal team.
Well, I mean, they're just trying to prove her guilt and not his innocence, really.
Yeah.
So this is what I find interesting about it, because he was put on trial for the rape, but he not only was she found not guilty of cutting off his penis by reason of insanity, but he was found not guilty of the rape. And he was never tried for the crimes that he committed throughout their marriage, which were proven in court as a way to establish motive for her crime. So you've got two people, both of whom committed crimes, or a crime each at least. She got away with it, and it's tempting to think she should have got away with it. He also got away with it.
That's very true.
Yeah,
everyone was free to do free carry on as you were.
Yeah. And his penis was reattached, and he even had a moment of celebrity, because I think he made a couple of porn movies and did some rounds as the man whose penis was cut off and reattached.
How does that come up? Who contacts you about that? You're the guy with your thing cut off. Do you want to... What?
Was he just... he wanted to prove that it was still all right.
I'm guessing there was a bit of ego there. Given the kind of horrible man he was, I imagine he wanted to put that to rest, so to speak.
There have been more cases, and recently in the UK, of a woman who killed her husband, and then the conviction was overturned because it turned out that he was abusive for many, many years. Sally Challen killed her husband with a hammer.
Oh yeah,
and was meant to serve 22 years, which was then reduced to 4 years. And then they asked to reduce it on the conviction of manslaughter because she was abused for many, many years, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And then coercive control became criminal in England and Wales, a criminal offence in England and Wales in 2015, and her conviction was overturned in 2019, last year.
Wow.
And her two sons were supporting her the whole time, saying that their dad was terrible and that it was justified, basically.
Yeah.
And so now she's free as a result of that. So it's certainly not an isolated case, but definitely an unusual one.
Do you remember the one from Russia? Was it last year or a couple of years ago? Very recent. And it caught the public attention. But three daughters were basically charged with the murder of their father.
Yeah.
Who had been abusing them for years. And they basically stabbed him to death while he slept. And they were all arrested for murder. But then an online petition that was signed by 350,000 people that demanded them not face any, murder charges. Their murder charges were dropped at the start of this year. So, very recent.
I like this because we've already, apart from John Bobbitt, who repeatedly abused his wife, we've already raised examples of people who've got away with a serious crime. But it's kind of a relief they did.
Yeah, it feels like justice was still done in a weird way. However, sadly, that is not always the case. And there are some instances where criminals have gotten away with horrible things. Can you think of anything more notably than the Nazis who escaped justice after World War II?
Yeah, many of them as well, right?
A lot of them.
The vast majority of them, yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I know you talk about this a lot, Alex, but I remember going to Berlin and going to the Topography of Terror, it's called, and it basically outlines all the terrible things that the Nazis did during World War II and the Holocaust. Yeah. And you looked at all of these boards that outlined all the different key Nazi figures that showed them. Yeah. And looking around, it just made me angry because all of them, it was either escaped to South America or either did 6 months in a jail or, you know, didn't do any time. So.
Exactly, yeah. Apparently, there are more than 200,000 perpetrators of Nazi-era crimes. And of those, 140,000 individuals were brought to court between 1946 and 2005. And in the end, only 6,600 ended in convictions. So, wow.
I mean, that's worse than the US murder convictions, isn't it?
Yeah, so much worse. And I guess, is it different because it was part of the war? But then it's like, they're still, these are committing war crimes, basically. Yes.
Yeah.
Notably, one of these people was Joseph Mengele.
Mengele.
Who was also nicknamed the Angel of Death and was, you know, a Nazi scientist conducting horrible experiments on prisoners in Auschwitz. Yeah, so he had a particular focus on twins, apparently. Twins, pregnant women, and disabled, and he would use them as human guinea pigs. He would torture children and just generally commit horrible experiments. And after the war, he stayed in Germany for 3 years. Which is shocking, isn't it?
You would think
if they were going to make their escape, it would have to have been before the war. But he was still there up until 1949, where with the help of a Catholic clergy member, he fled via Italy to Argentina, where he owned a mechanical equipment shop, remarried under his own name. It was just under his name, not even hiding, in Uruguay in 1958.
He looks like a psycho as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's clearly.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like he's got a screw loose, for sure. Yeah.
Now, obviously, there were lots of like Nazi hunters who were going around Argentina hunting...
Nazi hunters out there.
Trying to hunt these people that escaped justice. Mm. Notably, there was one, Adolf Eichmann, who escaped to Argentina. But then he was captured by Israeli Mossad agents. And in 1960...
Yeah, he was hanged, wasn't he?
He was hanged, by an Israeli court, yeah. And after this actually happened, Joseph Mengele did go underground for a while, but ended up in Brazil and just died of a stroke in 1979.
Wasn't he swimming or something, wasn't he?
He was swimming in the sea, and had a stroke and drowned.
Did he have children after he remarried?
I'm not sure about that, actually.
Did he have twins?
If he did, I mean, that would be
probably that's the kind of secret.
That's the kind of thing, isn't it? That's just crazy to think about someone like that could even have children. Like, where did they have even the patience or the empathy to deal with the child? Like,
I imagine a lot of them did. A nanny or something, you know. They were all quite wealthy, weren't they, really? But am I correct in thinking, was he one of the Nazi... some of his research, wasn't it used by the West in general in medicine?
I don't know about that. I guess it would be one of those things where you know, when you take away the question of ethics, I'm sure some of these experiments are experiments that like scientists could, you know, could wish that they would get the answers to, and there's a way that they could do it, but it's like absolutely the thought of doing that would be absolutely horrifying, so they so I guess if he did get the information, I guess they would want to use that information still. Yeah.
It wouldn't be surprised at all. And I guess it kind of links up to the cult that you mentioned a few weeks ago, Alex, with the Sullivanians. And Robin, you made the point that although what they were doing was ethically not good in terms of forcing people to sleep with one another and seeing if all evils of the world were basically caused by having strong familial connections, right?
Yes.
But still, that would have been useful, yet morally abhorrent. And this is just like that to the extreme, right? Yeah.
Well, it's like all the Nazi scientists. I don't know if you're going to mention this, Martin, but Operation Paperclip after the war, where we gave, sanctuary, I guess, to Nazi scientists and used them for all of our space programs, both in Russia and in America and in Europe. Despite the fact that their active involvement in... I think that's it. It's not just their active involvement in the war, because during wartime, you don't know who's going to win, and whoever wins will decide who committed the greatest wrongs, right? So forgiving someone for being actively involved in the war effort in their nation, I think that's okay. I think that's okay. It's when they commit things that are internationally recognized as war crimes, or when they do things like Josef Mengele did, which are just crimes. You know, it doesn't matter when you do it or in what context. That's just, what are you doing, man? Don't do it.
You've broken, like, you know, so many vows as like a medical practitioner by doing what he did, and he would have known that what he was doing obviously was wrong. Horrible person. But I mean, yeah, and the Nazi scientists and that came over from Operation Paperclip. I mean, you can understand why they would do that. I mean, the rocket scientists, you know, the German rocket engineers were like some of the best in the world at the time. Yeah. What was the rocket that they had?
The V1 and V2.
V1 and V2. That was like the best rocket in the world at the time.
Foundation for the Apollo program, wasn't it? Or the Mercury program, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
A few issues, but, you know, a bit of a blueprint.
Crash land in London with no difficulty, but the moon may be difficult.
It is truly awful that a lot of these people got away, and Mengele is just another example, isn't he, of a long list, and also such a notorious person. The fact that he managed to stay in Germany for years after the war is really shocking, but not surprising, really, because the Germans, the equivalent of diplomatic immunity, pretty much, weren't they? They were blocking a lot of extraditions of these leading
German figures, and in
Germany, I believe. I think there was issues with a lot of the ex-Nazis that when they got sanctuary in Germany, of actually then making them stand trial, especially after Nuremberg. If they hadn't been convicted then,
that wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen. Yeah.
But I mean, that was maybe not entirely reflective of modern day. It's kind of a unique, or more unique situation, I guess, than what we're mainly talking about today. So, what other ones do we have?
So my one's about a man who was accused of killing his friend in Vermont in 2002. Oh. So this guy was called Isaac Turnbow, and he on the night of April 12th, 2002, one of his friends and co-workers was found dead outside of a restaurant that they both worked at. And apparently his friend was a chef in the kitchen, and he'd been mixing the sauces in an outdoor cauldron when witnesses inside of the restaurant heard a loud popping noise. They went outside and found this person, Declan Lyons, who was 24 at the time, dead on the floor with a wound in his head, a gaping head wound. So pretty nasty stuff. So the police didn't really know what was going on. They were trying to find out... what had happened and hopefully find a prime suspect. But for a long while, they didn't actually find anything. It went cold. And then a couple of years later in 2004, this guy, Isaac Turnbow, was around a campfire with friends, and he was taking a few mushrooms. And he apparently admitted to this group that he was the one who had killed Declan Lyons. In 2002. And so one of the friends then went and told Turnbow's mother, who then went to the police and told them that this is what she had heard, that her son had committed this terrible crime. But at the same time, apparently during this campfire meeting, when he'd been taking mushrooms, he also admitted to having an involvement in 9/11 and causing that too. You've got to be a little bit careful with the confession, right? But anyway, it seemed like he had committed this. So he was tried, but he wasn't convicted at the time. They didn't have enough evidence to convict him. So yeah, they basically decided that because of his previous mental illnesses, and also the fact that, you know, he was on mushrooms and had said that he'd been, had involvement in 9/11, he obviously wasn't fit to be convicted. So he was basically let off and found not guilty by this jury. They couldn't prove that this was murder, especially not premeditated murder. And so he was free to go. But a few years later, in 2011, Turnbull went to the police and admitted that he had committed the murder.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Bit of a twist there. So he said, yes, I killed Lyons. It was me, shot him in the head. But he can't be convicted because of the laws around double jeopardy in the US. So, according to his attorney, you can't be convicted twice for the same crime.
Yeah.
That's what double jeopardy basically is. Yeah. In the UK, it's slightly different. Like, if new evidence comes to light, you can be retrialed.
Yeah.
So, in the UK, this would go back to court.
Yeah, you know, the thing that makes sense.
Yes, but in the US, you can't. And so, his lawyer said he could have turned over a videotape of him committing the murder, and it wouldn't have changed the fact that double jeopardy is attached. The thing is, there's question marks over whether this new confession is again part of his mental illness that has been documented over the years, right? Going back to, as I say, notoriously saying that he was had a role in 9/11. You know, probably not true. He might have been the mushrooms. It might have been just his history of mental illness. But basically, it's still not exactly known whether he committed this crime or not. But he did confess to the police that he had. It could have been a false confession, but nothing now can be done about it because of double jeopardy. So, I mean, the likelihood that he did this, he was the co-worker, so he was in the right place at the right time to do it. In terms of motivations, it doesn't seem like there's anything that stands out, but, you know, it could be as simple as an argument, couldn't it,
with something like that? He sounds a bit like a hothead, or unpredictable, I should say.
Potentially.
I mean, this is a really good case, Martin, because it's just presented two facets of the law when it comes to getting away with crimes, which is firstly the problem of quality of evidence, which is where I have massive sympathy for the police force, because it's not just about knowing someone did something, it's about being able to prove it. And that's why the legal system has all these very strict rules about the type of evidence that can be admitted and the type of evidence that a jury should consider to be reasonable and compelling. And then, of course, the other facet of it is, of course, the double jeopardy thing. Because is it the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution in America that says that enshrines double jeopardy as a right?
I think that's right.
There are some exceptions, I think, at least in US law. So you are allowed to retry somebody if, for example, you can establish that they bribed a judge or a member of the jury. There's also some weird peculiarities about the way the American system works, because you can be tried twice for the same crime, but by different courts. So there's the federal system and then there's the state system, and it is possible to be tried in both the federal court and the state court simultaneously for the same crime. And in fact, I think it was in the news recently, there was a fella who said he was acquitted in the state court for, I think it might have been rape, and then the federal court, the FBI basically, have taken him to court, and he's saying, no, you can't do this, I've already been acquitted. But the Supreme Court I think it was just last week even, said, no, this is the federal justice system, you can be tried again.
I mean, in this particular case, we don't know whether his confession is true or not. I mean, in terms of double jeopardy, it makes sense that you're not being tried over and over again for the same thing, because you could have a situation where you're basically being picked on by the system until they get the outcome that they're looking for, right?
Because you've got to have faith in the legal system, right? Well, as Alex said earlier, it's about trust. How can you trust a system when you never know if the results of your trial will ever stand?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting what you said about the fact that if you, say, bribed a court judge, because that would suggest that the trial itself wasn't legitimate.
Yes.
Yeah. As opposed to double jeopardy, which is saying that you can't be retried. You can be, but it's very unlikely. Even if there's new evidence, you can't be retried for that same crime in principle.
Yeah.
Because supposedly the legal system has done its job in the first place.
Yeah.
I get it, but there are so many. There must be so many cases where it overwhelmingly doesn't make sense to not retry someone. Yeah.
There's a lot here, and we could go on about it for literally hours.
Yeah, I think we have quite a while already.
But the point is that we're bringing it all the way back round. Literally, like it just was shocking to me, the amount of crime that goes unsolved.
Yeah,
that's kind of the big takeaway for me. Like how much crime just goes unsolved, and especially like big crimes like murder.
Yeah,
40% chance you would get away with a murder in America. Mm. That's shockingly high.
Yeah, I'd like to see a comparison internationally, like different countries. Police forces clearance rates, whatever that is, compared to public opinion of their police forces. Because people love the police over here in Britain, but with a 10% clearance rate, that's not. Well, okay, it's a generalisation, Martin.
Do they?
Yeah, they don't necessarily love them, but it's not. We don't have quite the same hatred of the police and distrust that that people in America, particularly ethnic minorities,
maybe. Yeah.
So, I'd love to see that. Where there's a correlation between clearance rates and popularity.
Yeah, that would be interesting. It would be interesting. A lot of work to be done, it seems. A lot of work to be done by the police.
But in the meantime, here's hoping that you'll do better than 40% in this week's quiz.
Segue.
Up for a quiz?
Yes.
Welcome, fellas, to this week's quiz. Robin, I believe you've got everything to play for this week.
Yes.
You're lagging a little bit in the leaderboard.
Yeah, quite obviously. There's a big gulf between me and second place, let alone between me and first place. It's going to be tough.
But everything can change. As always this week, 10 questions. It's on current affairs, though. So I hope you've been paying attention to the news of the past few weeks. I think it should be. A lot has happened in the last few weeks, so I felt like, you know, it'll be a moment of reflection for all of us.
I always think I haven't been paying attention, but then you never really know until the questions come up, do you?
Exactly, yeah.
Isn't that rules, guidance, and advice for life?
Exactly.
You never know until it comes up.
Let's hear your buzzers then. Robin, what have you got for me? What are you doing this week?
I've gone for a famous line from a comedy classic. I just want to tell you both good luck.
We're all counting on you. And Martin, what's your buzzer this week?
Oh, it's one of my favourites.
Good old Delia. Nice.
Come on.
So amazing.
I feel like that is becoming your standout buzzer.
I think
that's your Orson Welles. Delia Smith.
Let's be Avenue.
Let's be Avenue. Fighting.
Let's be Avenue.
It's fighting talk.
Come on. Where are you? Yeah, love it.
Okay, question number one.
Ooh.
Okay.
This week, a post-Brexit trade deal between the UK and Japan met an unlikely obstacle. But what was it?
What was it? He knows.
Robin?
Something to do with blue cheeses.
Yes, that was it.
I'll accept that as an answer.
Stilton,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stilton, yes.
Yeah.
International Trade Secretary Liz Truss requested better terms for British blue cheeses.
There we go.
Yeah. Ignoring the fact that a large population of Japan are actually lactose intolerant. So
it's true. It's like a crazy high percentage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good. Good stuff. So done, Robin.
Yeah. I think even more ironic is that she wanted to have the same terms as the EU do for their blue cheeses. You're just like,
of course. It begins.
Get used to this. Okay. Well, in the spirit of good news, question number two. Ooh, we're now in the biggest recorded recession ever.
Yay.
By how much did the UK economy shrink between April and June?
Oh, what was it?
Oh, I think Martin just got there. Robin, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I heard Delia yelling first. I'll accept. Actually, should I accept closest wins? I'll accept closest wins.
I thought it was like 21%.
Ooh.
Okay.
I thought it was 20.4%.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, Robin got that one. It was 20.4%.
I was saying, you're not going to choose that if you don't know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. 20.4.
Very good.
It's about 21%.
Yeah. But hopefully we'll bounce back and it'll all be okay.
People bounce back.
People bounce back.
They do. Yes. Bouncing economy.
So that's 2-0 to Robin.
Oh, good start. No.
I'll lie back now. Just close my eyes. I've won. Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
Question 3.
Okay.
This week, Wealth magazine Forbes named the world's highest paid male actor. Who came out on top?
I just want to tell
you both good luck. Oh, Robin, go for it.
Sorry, Martin, if I beat you to it. Pretty sure it's The Rock. Dwayne.
It is
Johnson.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That is correct for the second or third year running now.
Yeah.
I think.
Crazy,
yeah.
Isn't it?
He just does so many films,
he
doesn't he?
He does.
Mostly Netflix as well. Isn't it mostly his Netflix deals that earn him so much money?
I think he got paid $20 million for a few episodes of a Netflix series or something, which is mad.
Wow. Yeah.
But I guess, do you want to know how much he made last year, according to Forbes?
Yeah.
116 million.
That's not bad.
Oh, blimey. No, that's
way more.
Yeah. 75.
Just in 1 year, it was $87.5 million. Mad.
But again, what do you do? Like, because I'm like, well done, that's incredible. And he's like, that's 1 year, and then you've got all the other years. What do you do with all that money?
And he works so much, like he doesn't have time to spend it. Or he makes his own tequila, doesn't he? Actually, but
he spent on that business adventures to make more money.
Well done. Okay, so that's 3-0 to Robin.
Blimey.
Question number 4. Which recently extinct animal species is due to be brought back to life using an experimental stem cell technique?
Oh.
Oh, I don't...
Hello?
Were you
12
men? Martin, go for it.
Let's just go for a woolly mammoth.
That's not a bad shout.
It is not the woolly mammoth, no.
That was incorrect, Martin. Sorry.
It was not a good shout. A terrible shout.
I thought it seemed possible because they found frozen...
They always go on about it, don't they?
They always do. Yeah. They do. It might have been another one. Oh, what are we going to bring back next? Another woolly mammoth?
Yeah.
I think they need to start...
Nah.
Start a bit smaller than that, maybe.
That's not a
clue, by the way.
Really. Okay. Yeah.
No idea about this. I mean, there's so many extinct animals. It could be anything. Is it... Do I have to buzz? Shall I buzz?
Yes, I would like you to buzz, please.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
Okay.
Quizmaster's rules.
Is it the dodo?
It is not the dodo, no.
Oh, there you
go. I give you a clue.
Sure. Yeah, go on then.
Because you're both away. this animal, it's a specific type of an animal that is in existence today still. But this is a specific species of that animal.
Okay.
So it's not like a dodo or a woolly mammoth or a dinosaur or something.
It's a something frog.
So they can kind of use the stem cells from the existing animals and tweak it a bit. Is that what they do?
I presume so, yeah.
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 Based on no knowledge at all, I'd
no
presume
idea.
So.
Is it?
I'm trying to think of what's gone extinct.
Is it the giant rat of Sumatra?
The giant rat. No.
Well, that's my guess is done.
think about what's gone extinct. I mean,
what could it
recently?
Because it'd have to be an animal that you want to bring back as well. Like I just suggested, giant rat, but no one wants to bring back a rat.
people would be very sad if this animal died out. Like all of them. It's a heavy hitter. It's that's a clue. Mm. That's a clue right there.
Oh. What was that mean? Could it be a type of kangaroo?
No, I'm just going to give it to you. And actually, I was a bit taken aback by your guess, Robin, because it is a type of Sumatran animal. It's a Sumatran rhino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
There you go.
Interesting.
Wow.
Cool.
Okay, so 3-0 still to Robin. Question number five.
Okay.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden this week named Kamala Harris as his running mate for the forthcoming election. For which U.S. state is Harris a senator?
I just want to tell you both good luck.
Oh, I think Robin was there first.
Yeah.
No, just a bit faster. Well, I may be wrong, but I think it's California.
It is California, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, Martin.
It's okay.
Sorry, Martin. I feel bad.
So that's 4-0. 4-0 to Robin.
I think Joe Biden picked his choice very cleverly because, I mean, he's now, for the first time in history, he's guaranteed California for the Democrats. You know, that was just such a wise, unnecessary choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a toss-up one. It was an absolute swing state.
Couldn't yeah, I mean, after way. 2016, who knew which way it was going to go? Yeah.
Question number six. Is this a closest wins? Yeah, I'm going to say this is a closest wins as well.
Okay.
This week, New Zealand confirmed a new COVID-19 infections that ended a lengthy run with no local transmissions of the virus. How long had the country gone without registering a new case before this?
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm trying to press it, but I can't.
When did it start?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah.
If it doesn't work, just sing it. Just say it.
Yeah, you claimed it, Martin. Go for it.
I've got it. It's all good. Yeah. I believe it was 102 days.
Oh, spot on. I'm not even going to give Robin a guess.
I would not have got that.
It was 102 days.
Incredible.
Well done. So that's 1-4 to, well, it's 1-4 to you, Martin.
1-4 to me. Thank you. Thank you. It's made me feel so much better.
4-4-1. Yeah.
You're winning 1-4.
You can still bring it back.
There's still time. You could actually do this. Yeah, you could do this.
There's time. There's time.
And look at this. Another closest wins coming right at you.
You love these, don't you? This is your bread and butter.
Yeah. Question number seven. How many A-level students in England saw their results downgraded by a government-endorsed algorithm in what's being dubbed the exam fiasco this week? Closest wins.
Are we going for a percentage?
An actual number. How many students in England?
Because I know the percentage roughly, but I don't know the number. How many students are in an A-level year? That's the good question, isn't it?
Good question.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. Okay, let's go for 205,000.
Okay.
This is interesting because I know in Scotland it was about 124,000 results were affected and 75,000 students. So by extrapolation, there must be a lot more students in England and Wales.
Yeah.
250, did you say, or 205?
I can't remember.
I think you said 205,000.
Yeah.
I'll go for 250,000.
Robin is closer. But you're both pretty close, though. It's 280,000.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was 35%, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I just don't know how many kids are on an A-level year.
Yeah.
I think it was 35.2. I think that might be right. 35.2.
Yeah, that was pretty big news the other day.
Yeah.
Okay, question number eight. So that's 5-1 to Robin.
Oh, dear. This has not gone well. Never do current affairs again.
I think it may be all be over now. Okay, question eight. Belarus was plunged into chaos following an election in which President Alexander Lukashenko extended his reign despite accusations of electoral fraud.
Yeah.
But when did he come to power?
Oh, God.
No idea.
Let's just extend his reign. Okay.
Go on then, Robin.
2007.
Oh, I was thinking 2004, so I'm going to go to 2004.
Well, I'm going to give the point to Martin because he's closest wins, and I didn't say this was closest wins,
but on
reflection, I am. It was 1994 he came to
power. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So he's been there for a while, a bloody long while. He's been around the block.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I say that's incredible, but if there's a fraud, it's not incredible, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's well done to him.
It's grimly predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, question 9. That's 5-2.
Yeah.
Which chemical was responsible for the massive explosion that tore through the Lebanese capital of Beirut recently? Oh, I think that was Martin.
That was Martin, yeah.
Was it... Oh, my goodness. Was it phosphorus nitrate? No. Something nitrate.
Can I have a guess?
Yeah, you can have a guess, Robin.
Was it ammonium?
Ammonium nitrate.
It was ammonium nitrate. I'm tempted to give you both half a point.
No, no, I didn't get it right. That, yeah. I did not get it right. I gave half a point for not getting it right.
You got the nitrate.
No. That doesn't count.
Okay. That's fair enough. I respect your integrity.
Thank you.
6-2. Question.
It doesn't matter at this stage. If it was close, I'd be fighting tooth and nail.
Okay. Question 10.
Sorry, Martin.
Question 10. To apologise.
The ex-king of which European country recently went into exile following the launch of an investigation into his finances by state prosecutors?
I haven't heard anything about this.
This is completely news to me.
It seems like a massive news story that's gone under the radar.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a massive news story about a very small country? So it's going to be something
which country?
Let's just go for a guess. Let's go for Slovakia.
It's not Slovakia, no.
Okay. There'll be a country, I'm guessing a country that's recently got rid of its monarchy. But wasn't there a country where the king stepped down and the younger one placed him? Was that Spain? Did Spain do that? Is it?
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Is it Spain?
Robin, you have smashed this quiz. It was Spain. Yeah, it was Spain.
How have we not heard about this?
I hadn't heard of this at all, yeah.
Juan Carlos I was exiled or went into exile.
Yeah.
I saw it on the news.
Clearly, you're at the quiz. Wow. That's
crazy.
That's mad, isn't it?
But they got rid of their monarchy, I think, didn't they? Ages ago.
I think they have a constitutional monarchy, but they don't I don't know how it works in Spain, but I think they're still around.
Can you imagine that? Imagine if, I mean, the Duke of York, I guess, you know, Prince Andrew, there's a chance he might exile himself at some point.
He should do, to be honest. He really should.
Yeah.
I have some sympathy for a king, because, you know, when you're a king, the one thing you should do is dodge taxes.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes with the job.
Why is no one thinking about the kings?
What are you doing if you're not dodging taxes? Oh, did you guys see, there was, as you mentioned with your question earlier, Alex, with the A-level results, there was a host of celebrities saying, it doesn't really matter what A-levels you get, I still manage to be really successful and have loads of money. You know, really useful stuff to the average A-level student. But one of the people saying this was like the Baron of something.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah,
and he was like, "Yeah, I didn't get, but I worked my way up." And it's like, "You're a Baron, mate."
Literally, there's nothing. Old money.
Yes,
that's literally your title. Oh my god.
Oh, what a dick.
Anyway,
and he's serious as well.
Congratulations, Robin. Well done.
Yes, well done. Comprehensive.
Well done, Martin. Well played. Good quiz, good. Alex. Good quiz.
No. Not a good quiz.
I thought it was a very good quiz in the end.
The questions were fine. I just need to, you know, make sure that I swat up on my old news before taking one of your quizzes.
I know that, you know, recently we like to avoid the news and all the horrible stuff in the world going on.
Yeah.
I've been actively trying to.
Quiz, yeah.
I felt like a lot has been going on in the last few weeks, so I thought it was important, you know, to refresh our minds.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
Would you like the bonus question now?
Yes.
Is it on news?
It's actually not. No, it's just general knowledge. Okay. And it's the closest wins because I bloody love them.
The question is, does it do anything?
Does it do anything?
Does it do anything?
The answer is
no. The French. Okay. How many bathrooms are there in the White House?
Ooh, in the White House.
Very How many bathrooms question. Are in the White House? Okay, Robin.
Go for it.
100.
Nice round number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, would they do something cheesy and be like 51, one for every state?
That would actually be quite... That would be cool, but there are only...
A toilet for every state.
50 states?
Only 50 states, sorry.
50 if you need states, me, I'll be maybe. In Hawaii. If you need me.
Sorry, it's very late.
I'll be in Michigan.
Yeah. Let's go for... No, that'd be rubbish, wouldn't it? That'd be useless. There's more people now. 70... I think it's probably more than 100, but I'm not going to go for that. I'm going to go for 72.
Well, it's a good thing that you stuck with your lower guess, Martin, because it's only 35.
So, okay.
Rubbish.
Okay.
Rubbish.
None.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an underwhelming end.
I really like the idea of having one for every state. I think that's great. I think, Martin, yes. they're missing a trick more. There, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
And every time they add a state, they're just like, oh, man, I've got to build another toilet.
Who's doing this bullshit? What was I going to say? I was going to say Bill Gates' house only has 7 bedrooms with 24 bathrooms.
What?
Knowledge.
What?
Yeah.
I'm impressed to know that, like, but also, who built that? What was the design thinking behind that? That makes no sense.
Maybe
staff have to go to the bathroom, but they don't have to sleep there.
Yeah, but did you say 24?
I think it's 24.
That's a lot.
But also, maybe, like, I mean... He doesn't need all the bedrooms, but if he's got so much space, like acres, like a big land mass, I'm assuming, maybe he's just got bathrooms on the side of, you know, his tennis court and all this.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you only need to go to bed once a day, whereas if you've got a massive, huge, vast house, you're going to need the toilet wherever.
Does he sleep in a different bedroom every day of the week?
Asking the important questions. We will find that out.
I'd love to think so.
We will find that out and answer it on the next podcast.
We will indeed.
Or more likely, we'll forget.
Probably not. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Thank you,
Robin. You have earned your place back. We're all on equal level pegging now, I think, on the leaderboard. Well done on your quiz win, Robin, and thank you again, both of you, for joining me in today's discussion. And if you did want a little bit more of Just Interesting, head over to our Patreon, where, as we mentioned earlier, we discuss a Chinese restaurant. I promise you, though, the discussion is a little bit more interesting than that, a little bit more in-depth. At the end of the day, though, it is largely about a Chinese restaurant.
Scintillating discussion.
In the meantime, though, I hope you all have a lovely week. And thanks again for listening. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.